I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya in the mother continent of Africa as we continue discussions on Africa's yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we focus on an iconic figure who lived between the year 1787 and 1828, Shaka Kasenzanga Kona, the son of King Kasenzanga Kona and Nandi. Of course, his paternity was debated in the early days. But in order to understand what he led and what to the world is known as the Zulu Empire, almost a similitude of the Roman Empire in the assessment of historians, we ought to go back to the beginning of two iconic kings. This is the Nguni peoples, but there are two kings that are normally forgotten as we talk about the rise of Shaka. This is King Zwide of the Ndwandwe and Dingishuayo of the Mthethwa. These were the kings that were reigning in the early days of the formation of what was to become the Zulu Empire. And it is in the confusion of the conflict between Zwide of the Ndwandwe and Dingishuayo of the Mthethwa that Shaka then emerges. And when Shaka emerges, he emerges as a young warrior who is fearless, who really has something to prove, because acceptance by his half-brothers is also very limited. So he has everything to prove. During this period, the Zulus, which was a small clan really in the entire arrangement, begin to rise. And what does Shaka do that is unique when he becomes the lead warrior? He does something that had never been done. He says and begins to say that if you want to be in the army of the Amazulu or the Zulu, you must be an individual who is disciplined. You must live in barracks. So for the first time amongst the Nguni peoples, the combatants are regimented. And when they are regimented, it means that discipline can be instilled. And in those regiments, they are educated in the art of warfare. And we know, for example, that the cow horn system was one of the methods that was used to train them to fight from the flanks. And he discovers that many times many warriors actually become exposed when they use the spear, and once they have thrown it, then they are disarmed. And that is how he comes there with the Ikilua, which sometimes is referred to as their segai for purposes of man-to-man combat. And that revolutionizes the entire field in the struggles that then begin to take place. And he begins to be a conqueror. He's an unsettled spirit who wants to conquer territory. And the major campaign that he engages in is what is called the Mfekane, which is really sweeping and cleaning. And Mfekane is mounted, and many clans in the Nguni region begin to give way to Shaka's kingdom. And that is happening at a time when the settlers, the colonialists, have not come into the land, and therefore the conqueror in this regard is Shaka of the Amazulu. And of course, when you are doing this, there is resistance, and other people now begin to run away as he engages in what is essentially a scorched earth method. And wherever he goes, he has succeeded in centralizing command. And I think in terms of governance, why he is normally compared to the Roman Empire is that he is creating and capturing territory. And when territory has been captured, then allegiance is then paid to the conqueror in terms of tributes. And whoever is installed as a chief then becomes beholden to this warrior king. In this regard, therefore, a number of things happen which make the Zulu Empire, even as it is expanding, very effective. Command is centralized. Administration is centralized. The soldiers are well fed. The population is subdued. Administration systems are imposed. And as he moves and as he kills and conquers, he is driving people away. And that is why the clans begin to move and actually begin to form what can be described as tribes. So that when you talk about the Ndebele, who are now to be found in modern day, in modern day Zimbabwe, these are part of the people who suffered during the Mfectane. And there are many other communities which are then driven in what is today, latter-day KwaZulu-Natal. And Shaka continues with his escapades and he's a restless spirit. In fact, sometimes when they say that he's only reminiscent of the Roman Empire, there is some way in which he is a similitude of Alexander the Great, that he is moving and he does not want to settle. He wants to conquer. He is moving. And remember that he is moving in an environment where there is no mechanization. And some of the things that must be done as he moves along is also to ensure that provisions are made. How do you ensure that your soldiers are fed? These are things that are being taken into account. How do you ensure that there is no rebellion and mutiny? So there is also a dictatorial, imperial system that is created, and these imperial systems must be kept in hold. And this tells you, therefore, that the empire is very unstable, because there is betrayal very often, and there is rebellion. So many executions also take place. And one of the things that I think Shaka has also learned is this, that if you want to immunize yourself from internal rebellion, then you must keep your army in a constant stage of war. And this is something that he discovered, and I think he may not have read what was happening in the Roman Empire, but I think within the African environment, he must have seen that whenever you become stable as a conqueror, then you invite rebellion. So the Mfecane is meant to keep the tree, or rather to keep the tree rolling, as it were, being rolled from the top down, to ensure that there is always instability. Shaka remains in this place, but things begin to unravel. They begin to unravel because there are those who think that Shaka is too dictatorial. There are those who think that this permanent state of war is not a good thing. There are those who think that Mfecane is essentially indiscriminate killing, and that it is destabilizing the community and preventing the community or the society, the kingdom, from realizing our potential. And what begins to happen is rebellion within his ranks. And this rebellion does not come from far, but it comes from within. It begins in terms of mutinies. It begins in terms of resistance from outside. And remember that Mfecane has also made it possible for him to be spread too thin. The emperor is growing bigger and bigger, and control from the center is becoming more and more difficult. And in that way, the control that he had over these territories that he's conquering is becoming weaker and weaker. This provision to these warriors is becoming more and more difficult. And when he comes home, there is already a conspiracy to eliminate him in the year 1828. In the year 1828, his two brothers, Dingane and Mlangana, assassinate him. And once that has happened, the Zulu Empire, which had been created by Shaka, begins to unravel. Another thing that is also happening at that time is that the colonialists have started coming into the land. The British have started coming into the land in the year 1879, when the battles of the Blood River are being fought, the battle of the ravaging of Ulundi, and the empire that was created by Shaka then disappears in the same way that the Roman Empire disappeared. Now, why is it said that this was a similitude of the Roman Empire in Africa? The philosophy was one and the same. And there are certain things that you can see that were very similar. That number one, the Shaka army was born out of organization. Number two, that beyond the organization, it was also born out of innovation in warfare. And that innovation, the creation of the cow horn and the creation of the Asegai or Ikilua, these were innovations that gave the people an edge that others over the others who were resisting. Number three, that he realized very early that it was important to barrack your army. And many times, many of the individuals who are involved in combat were discouraged from getting into marital unions. And once he did this, he also realized that in order to have effective control, the control had to be centralized. And the other thing he realized, that you must keep your army or your fighting group in a constant and permanent stage of fighting, so that the fighting spirit is alive and well. And the similitude is that, like the Roman Empire, it started bursting from the center. And it is that center, once it breaks, that helped to destroy the empire in the very same manner that the empire of the Roman Empire was destroyed. And it comes from internal betrayal. The people whom you thought were the ones who are going to protect you are the very same that destroy you. So that we can even say that Shaka may have said, like Julius Caesar before Augustus, "E tu Brute." He could have said, "E tu Dingane, E tu Mlangani," because these are your brothers with whom you eat and drink, and they are the ones who are killing you, and you are saying, "Even you, Dingane, even you, Mlangana, you are killing me." And that was the end of the Roman Empire, in a similar manner, and the Zulu Empire in a similar manner. And ultimately, from that point on, what we see is the decline of the Zulu Empire, leading up much later in 1879 to the burning of Ulundi and the exile of Sesuayo. And that marked the end of the Empire Shaka of the AmaZulu. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. These stories about Africa never end, because the continent is rich with stories, new and old. Today we are focused on Shaka the Zulu. We will see you again as we continue these conversations.